Coming up this hour, the Human Rights Campaign targets Christian activists in an article called The Export of Hate. We'll talk about it with one of their targets, Peter LaBarbara. Stay with us for this hour of the Janet Mefford Show.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Well, it is great to be with you. Thank you so much for being with us. The Human Rights Campaign is the largest and richest pro-homosexual activist group in the United States, and it has been involved in all the major attempts to redefine marriage and vilify Christians, unfortunately, who believe homosexuality is a sin according to Scripture. If you look at its tax records, HRC employs close to 300 people, and they have over 5,700 volunteers. And if you look at their annual report, the total revenue and support in 2013 for the Human Rights Campaign amounted to more than $53 million. But according to HRC, the groups you really should be watching are those run by those very dangerous Christian and pro-family activists. They are profiled in a new article or report, I guess you could call it, called The Export of Hate. They show the faces of these activists in reverse black and white photography, so they look uber ominous, and accuse them of exporting hate toward the homosexual community by working to strengthen the family in different countries where this battle rages on. And ironically, they print the amount of revenue and assets these groups have, which in some cases, laughably, is a mere pittance compared to what HRC has in the way of support. So one of these very ominous guys profiled in this piece was my friend Peter LaBarbara, president at Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And Peter is joining us this hour to explain why he is such a hater. Peter, I still can't figure out why you're such a hater, but I'm glad you're here.
Well, Janet, you can call me Darth Vader, okay?
Okay. That picture was creepy. I mean, I look at this picture, and you look very, very terrifying.
I know all the help I could get in the looks front, you know. And here they put this dark face, this bizarre photo, and mine was not the worst. I mean, Matt Stavers looks like he got punched in the eye.
Yes.
With all that money, they need to hire a better graphic artist. Or, you know, obviously his intent was to make us look dark, sinister, evil, you know. It's just so over the top, it's almost laughable.
Yeah, it sure is. And I just found it hilarious money-wise. And I know I mentioned this in the intro. One of the things that was so hilarious is they're printing the amount of money each of these activists and groups takes in. One of them had $22,000 for an entire year. I'm like, wait a minute, let me get this straight. So the HRC, which took in $53 million in 2013, is wanting people to be scared to death by activists who have a $22,000 yearly income. I don't really understand how they can do that with a straight face.
Well, absolutely. And first of all, the lesson, you know, I thought it was 41. You said 53. But, you know, obviously, whether it's 41 or 53 million, homosexuality is big business. And I don't think Americans understand how big a business it is. And look, HRC, like every other homosexual activist group, especially the big ones, and a lot of the bloggers, they're out to demonize people like us, Janet. And we've both been victims of this crude demonization. The line is that we're all about hate. A lot of times they have to sort of, you know, if we're not really hateful, which I don't believe most people who oppose the homosexual activist movement are, every side has a few haters. There are a lot of haters on the homosexual side. But if they can't, you know, find actual hate, they make it up. And that's what they did in this case.
Well, they did. And so they're looking at people like Scott Lively, Jordan Seculo, you know, the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and you, obviously, looking very, very ominous in this picture as I'm looking at it right now. But they go after you because you went to Jamaica, apparently. That was not okay with them because you are now exporting your hate. You're not just spreading it around America, but you're going to foreign countries now, Peter, and I guess that's just not allowed.
Right. Well, here's what I said. Here's the excerpt of what I said, and I think it's an accurate excerpt. I don't have the whole quote. I said, with regard to homosexual, homosexual parenting, that quote, kids would be quote better off in a single parent household because you're not modeling homosexual behavior. When you have two men raising a young child, that child grows up learning basically dysfunction and a sexual perversion as normality.
Mm-hmm.
Unquote.
Yeah.
There's their example of hate. And so basically what they're saying is if you disagree with them on, you know, very controversial issues like homosexual adoption, homosexual so-called marriage, that you're a hater.
Right, right. And they also cite your arrest at the University of Regina in Saskatchewan and, you know, the fact that you were up there and trying to, you know, share the gospel with people. That's also hateful, apparently.
Yeah, now that's extremely disingenuous. And I know, Janet, you're a sort of a specialist on this like I am. The way they operate is they don't give all the information. I was arrested standing with the sign that said sodomy is wrong or something to that effect, and also a pro-life, you know, a life sign, a placard. It was a silent protest. The university wanted myself and Bill Watcott, you know, off the campus because they're basically against free speech.
Yeah.
We were interacting with students on, you know, on the pro-homosexual side, pro-abortion side. It was something that you see every day in America, but in Canada, the left is taking advantage of this hate propaganda law, and they're trying basically to ban people who they disagree with on these important moral issues.
Well,
and, you know, so that to cite that as an example of hate is truly un-American.
Well, it really is, and there's a lot more to talk about. We'll do it when we come back. Peter LaBarber with us from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. You're listening to The Janet Mefford Show. We'll return after this. Team past the hour on the Janet Mefford Show. We are talking about a new report out from the Human Rights Campaign, the largest, richest pro-homosexual activist group in the United States, and I would imagine the world, although I'm not sure about that. The export of hate goes after Christian and pro-family activists who are trying to strengthen the family, not just here at home, but abroad, as the fight for so-called gay rights is something that is now a global struggle. And Peter LaBarber is one of those who is profiled in this report from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. So they mention your trip to Jamaica, and they mention your involvement in going to Canada, the University of Regina, and your arrest there. I don't think they made the case, especially with you, that there's hate going on. I mean, you object to homosexuality as sinful behavior, but you're not a mean guy. I know you personally. You've never been hateful to anybody I know.
You know, Janet, that's just the point. They don't have to really make the case. They have to create the case in propaganda. They have to create the image. That's what this is all about. It's about demonizing people like you and me. And, you know, we know how the left operates, especially the LGBT left, because, you know, you've helped me understand it because of what's happened to you as well. You know, what they do is they have half reporting, half truths, out of context quotes. Let me give an example. Right Wing Watch, which you're well familiar, which is a project of the People for the American Way. They said they took issue when I said that America is sort of becoming like, are we becoming, you know, more shameful than Sodom and Gomorrah? They reported that quote, and I can't remember the exact words I used, but it was all about, you know, is America becoming more like them, more like, you know, the Bible story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I had just gotten back from San Francisco, where I reported on one of their street fairs in which there was open nudity, men flogging men to the point of bleeding in the streets,
yeah.
Men walking around fully nude, et cetera, et cetera. And they just, Right Wing Watch just left that part out, which obviously backed up my quote that America is becoming like Sodom.
Yeah.
And that's how they operate. It's all half-truths.
Right. So because if you include the context, and this is what these people do, if you include the whole context, it changes the whole impression that the reader has. That's the whole game.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. It's very sophomoric. I'm not saying there are controversial statements, but they're on all sides. And then now we have this phenomenon of the Human Rights Campaign, GLAAD, other homosexual groups, and the NAACP writing to, you know, basically Reince Priebus of the GOP, the GOP chair, and saying don't participate in the, you know, the Values Voter Summit that's going on because of these quote unquote hateful groups.
Yeah, exactly right. They had this full-page ad in the Washington Post on Wednesday. Southern Poverty Law Center was involved, the Human Rights Campaign, People for the American Way, the NAACP. I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center, just to remind people, Southern Poverty Law Center is the organization that lists people as hate groups. I believe you're on their list, right, Peter?
I was an early entry, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Godspeed to you. But they had the hate map that inspired the terrorist, the homosexual volunteer activist, Floyd Lee Corkins, to go to the Family Research Council and try to commit mass murder. And,
right.
You know, were the haters? It's amazing, but that was kind of whitewashed. There would be a little bit of discussion at the time that occurred. We made a big deal about it on Christian radio, as we should. But generally speaking, they're trying to kind of whitewash that. Let's not talk about that and any connection between calling people haters. I mean, here's what's really scary to me, Peter. I read this piece by Scott Lively, who is their first target in this article, and he is pretty much on the front line of the front line. He is basically fearful that his life might be in danger because he's been getting death threats after this report came out. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's a legitimate fear. I mean, Floyd Corkins was going to kill the workers at FRC, as many as he could, and then he was going to shove a Chick-fil-A sandwich in their face after they were shot, remember?
Right.
And so there's the face of hate right there. And if you quote the homosexuals' own words, you know, what they put out could lead to, you know, they're saying it could create violence among the extremists. Now, that's what they say about us. Now, it's happening with them. When you call people haters and you compare them to the Ku Klux Klan, which is what these groups do, and when you do what GLAAD does, which says, wow, you can't even have Pete LaBarbera on a TV program being interviewed because you can't even give a voice to that extreme hate. They're all about demonizing and marginalizing people of faith who happen to disagree with them on the homosexual issue. And then they're going to express surprise when people react like we really are that extreme view that they create for us.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I'd be interested to get your take on this, because I'd mentioned how rich the HRC is, how much power the HRC has. And yet here they are doing a whole report on these Christian family activists, most of whom don't make much money at all for their ministries. And it's sort of funny. On the one hand, they want to portray these activists, yourself included, as dangerous and we need to stop them. On the other hand, they're constantly trying to say that we're the minority and people are coming around on the issue. And so, you know, we're marginalized and we're antiquated and nobody's listening to us. Which is it? Are we a threat or are we antiquated and no threat at all? How can you have it both ways?
Right. I think Human Rights Campaign spends more on catering than our annual budget, you know?
So, probably.
I mean, come on. You know, this is all about fundraising and creating the most evil enemy you can to raise more money and to continue this demonization process.
I think so, too. How can you be scared of an organization that has an income of $22,000 for a year? I mean, they have no money
ours,
to spend.
Ours is a little more than that, but not much, you know. You know, for your listeners' attention, we need help.
Yeah.
So help us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is what we're facing. And, you know, you go to these fundraisers for that they have for GLAAD and some of these groups. They are taking in, you know, $10,000 table sponsorships. I mean, this is a big business. It's more elite fundraising for them, massive amounts of money, versus little grassroots organizations like mine and Scott's. It's pretty pathetic what they're trying to do to us.
Do you think, then, this is primarily about fundraising?
I think that's a big part of it, but it's also about framing the issue. This goes way back, as you know, with Kirk and Manson, the homosexual strategist, who said, you know, compare your opponents to, you know, the Klan and you know, fringe racists. That's an intentional strategy designed to demonize and marginalize. It's Saul Alinsky all the way.
Yeah, it really is. Paul Cameron is another person they mentioned from the Family Research Institute. Reported income here was $54,000. I mean, they could raise that in a night at a Human Rights Campaign gala, I'm sure. No problem at all. No problem at all. Well, what do you think of this as being an enemies list? That's what Scott Lively says this is, an enemies list. Does this concern you in any way? Have you had any pushback more than you normally get because of this report?
Well, I mean, it's constant. Yeah, it's constant with us, you know. And we just take it, you know, we just have to trust in God to protect us. But I do think that they're doing to us what the Nazis did to the Jews. You know, they're intentionally demonizing. And I'm not saying I agree with every statement of everybody and not everybody agrees with my statements in the pro-family movement, but we're all debating this issue civilly. These are positions that are, this is historic Judeo-Christian sexual morality. The Bible calls homosexual behavior an abomination. So I suppose that means that God is the biggest hateful homophobic bigot of all, according to their ideology. So this is absurd, but it's all about demonizing, because they know that it works and it does intimidate people. And I think that's one reason, Janet, why we see so many Christians now, especially the trend in evangelicalism is just shy away from a truly biblical stand on homosexuality. And that people don't want to be called a name or a hater or a bigot or a homophobe.
Yeah. Well, when we talk about the whole crux of this report, which is that you have a number of Christian activists who are now internationally involved, you've gone to these different locations, as have the people mentioned in this article. Why is that necessary? Talk a little bit from the Christian perspective about why family activists and Christian activists are going to other countries and talking about this issue.
Well, basically, you know, I went. Well, actually, I was substituting for Linda Harvey, so if I had not done that substitution, she would be on this list. So
oh,
she owes me one. But we're trying to warn people about what happened in the United States. I mean, Janet, I was just in San Francisco where there were thousands of people celebrating sadomasochism, hundreds and hundreds of men standingly with their tennis shoes and socks on, the rest nude, you know, celebrating perversion. We see civil rights, our civil rights being taken away, the right to stand up for your own morality, you know, whether it's bakers, photographers, wedding cake makers, you know, the idea that somehow homosexuality, you know, the right to not criticize, there's no right to stand up for your moral beliefs, according to the gay lobby. And we're trying to warn them, this is what's coming. So don't allow it to grow. Don't allow the homosexual activist movement to grow to the point where it becomes a monster in our midst, quote Paul Johnson, in the United, like it is in the United States.
Well, one of the things they say here is they say while LGBT people around the world face systematic stigmatization, persecution, and violence, there exists a network of American extremists who are working tirelessly to undercut them at every turn. These individuals are spreading venomous rhetoric, outrageous theories, and discredited science. Some claim that LGBT people are responsible for the Holocaust, the Rwandan genocide, and the spread of HIV/AIDS. Others argue that LGBT people are luring away children and that acceptance of LGBT people will lead to the destruction of families around the world. Some even suggest that the death penalty may be an appropriate punishment for homosexuality. I've never heard you say stuff like that. I mean, like the LGBT people responsible for the Holocaust. I mean, I guess this is the Nazi Party stuff that's been out there. But if you read this on its face, it does sound terrible. You say, well, oh, people are being, persecuted around the world because of these American extremists. But how do you respond to that?
Well, the irony here is that they're talking about demeaning people when they put out a report which portrays a bunch of pro-family activists in ugly and darkened caricatures. I mean, the hypocrisy is grand here from the Human Rights Campaign. But look, we're engaged in a debate. This is a debate about whether homosexuality deserves privileged, and sort of super status in the culture, which is, let's face it, that's where we are in the United States.
Yeah.
People are afraid to criticize homosexuality, and we're warning other countries that their very freedoms and religious liberty, freedom of conscience, is threatened by this movement if it is allowed to grow in their country. And I think that's proven by what's happened, not just in the United States, but Canada, where there's a hate propaganda law which bans criticism, and I encountered firsthand, and the UK and other countries in the West, we're trying to warn people, don't let that happen in your country.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So we're seeing the HRC putting out this report. How involved are they? Because I saw this story this week about, the International Olympic Committee is now on this bandwagon to not let host cities have they want anti-discrimination protections in place for LGBT people because of what happened in Sochi and so forth. But I mean, they are active around the world, are they not?
Oh, absolutely, they're active. I mean, they have spread lies about Scott Lively in Uganda. They are funding these activists in other countries. They are promoting American style, quote unquote, gay activism in these countries, which really, aren't really familiar with this kind of activism. This is a cultural battle everywhere in the world now. And what they're saying is only their side is legitimate. Our side, oh, we're the hateful extremists. Come on, we're in a civil debate here. We can keep it civil. But if you go around demonizing people and putting black faces on them and making them look like they just got beat up in a fight, that's not civil discourse.
No, it certainly is not. Well, we're going to go to another break. We're going to come back with Peter LaBarbera from Americans for Truth, talking a little bit more about that Washington Post ad that was taken out going after the Family Research Council. So we'll come back right after this. We're back on the Janet Mefford Show, 34 past the hour. My guest, Peter LaBarbera. You can find him at AmericansForTruth.com. We're talking about him being targeted and other Christian and family activists also being targeted in this new human rights campaign report called The Export of Hate. And, Peter, I know when we were talking a little bit earlier about this, you had some people come to you seeing this reverse black and white photography who actually thought it looked a little bit racist. Is that the case? Were some people saying that?
Yeah, and I'm not going to play up the race thing. It does strike me, though, that, this demonization is just, it's what's been done to minorities in the past. And like I said, it's what the Jews did to, what the Nazis did to the Jews. And, Janet, this is a serious issue, homosexuality. The CDC has reported that virtually every case of HIV among young men and boys ages 13 to 24 is related to homosexual sex. We're talking about a very serious issue. When homosexuality is promoted in the culture, we increase the likelihood of STDs and all that it entails. We're losing our freedoms. How dare Human Rights Campaign imply that there is not a legitimate opposition to homosexuality, or they get to pick which groups are legitimate, as if they're the arbiters of truth. This is a movement which has lied for years. I remember when they blamed the Christian right, so-called. Remember when they blamed us for Matthew Shepard, Janet?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Matthew Shepard, the student who was murdered, they came out and they blackened their screen and they tried to link it to the religious groups who were opposed to homosexuality. Turns out it was a drug murder.
Yep.
It had nothing to do whatsoever with religious conservative groups. So they've been lying for years. And this is now they're just getting a little bit more sophisticated in the way that they're lying and the resources they have to demonize us.
Well, if they are seeing so many victories, and they cite that in the report, too, we're seeing all these victories for so-called same-sex marriage all over the country. No doubt it's going to go before the Supreme Court, and the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised if it went their way. You would think, given the momentum that they feel they have at the moment, they would not feel the need to worry about people who have small budgets going to small countries and trying to tell the truth about what is happening in America. But
can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
This reminds me of GLAAD. I mean, GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Michael Brown calls them the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. If GLAAD is so convinced that they're on the right and we're just a bunch of extremist nut jobs, why do they want to keep us from debating them?
Exactly.
You think they'd want people like me on TV because, hey, we're just a bunch of wackos, right?
Right.
Hey, show how superior the gay argument is. But instead, they want us silenced, which tells me that they understand that their support is shallow. They rely on the media to prop them up. The media essentially gives the homosexual lobby millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of free publicity. They block out legitimate viewpoints. They promote homosexuality in Hollywood and the media and academia, wherever they can. This is a movement that's sort of propped up by a form of affirmative action, where they are the ones given all the attention, and it precludes a fair debate. So they are afraid of a fair debate on this issue.
You know, it's interesting to me. They have often, and we've talked about this extensively, they've often framed this entire movement as akin to the civil rights movement. They've tried to make all these comparisons. It's just like the civil rights movement, only it's for homosexuals. It was for blacks in the 60s, et cetera. One of the roadblocks they continually run into, and they're never going to stop running into this roadblock, is the fact that it's a moral issue, that Christians have very deep conviction about this issue because we're Christians, and that it's not going to be so easily thrown off into the corner as crazy people, because there are millions of Christians out there. How do you deal with the moral issue when you have millions of Christians who say, this is sinful, we don't hate you, we just don't think this is marriage? I wonder if they just feel that the moral argument has not been completely squashed the way maybe they hoped it would have been with this approach.
Absolutely. And they have another big problem, Janet, which is black Americans are probably the strongest demographic against homosexual so-called marriage. They resent skin color being compared to what God calls an abomination, behavior that's changeable. We know there are ex-gays and ex-lesbians and ex-transgenders. We talk about them. We try to get them publicity despite the media blocking their message. But there is no such thing as an ex-African-American or an ex-Latino. You can't compare race and skin color and ethnicity to a changeable sexual behavior, which, by the way, is disproportionately linked to various sexual diseases like HIV, hepatitis, syphilis. You know, that syphilis has now been declared predominantly a disease among men who have sex with men. 84%, I believe, of new syphilis cases are homosexual men practicing homosexuality, whether they call themselves gay or not. We have some serious health risks here linked to this behavior, Janet. And yet, what is this debate? They're basically engaged in a smear campaign just to try to shut us up.
Yeah, and I did a bad thing where I wasn't able to get much about this letter, and we'll do that in the next segment, though. And ironically, we have the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund saying we need to shun the social conservatives. It's so ironic, isn't it? We're going to come back. Peter LaBarber with us from Americans for Truth will return right after this. We are back 44 past the hour on the Janet Mefford Show, talking with Peter LaBarbera from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. He is one of those profiled as a Christian family activist in the Export of Hate report out from the gigantic, rich, and very powerful Human Rights Campaign. And we were talking a little bit about this letter. I just want to tackle this a little bit, Peter, because we had this letter that was printed, a full-page ad appeared in Wednesday's Washington Post, signed by HRC, Southern Poverty Law Center, some other groups, including the NAACP, apparently, specifically targeting the Family Research Council, which is holding its Values Voter Summit. Family Research Council, as we mentioned before, is where this shooting and potential mass murder could have occurred had it not been for the bravery of the building manager there at the time. What do you think the GOP's response will be to this? I mean, we're seeing some shifts here and there, but the platform is pretty rock solid on marriage at the present time. But what are your thoughts on, you know, the GOP and how it's reacting to pressure from groups like this?
Well, I think you're being a little generous to the GOP, Janet. First of all, Reince Priebus, I hope they don't respond to this specific. I mean, if they caved into this letter, that would be there would be outcries across the, you know, the land among GOP faithful. But already we're seeing the GOP in this incredible move to say that social issues, push them aside. Let's focus on economic issues only. So they want to take one of the legs of the Reagan stool. Remember the three legs, the moral issues. They want to take that out, which makes the stool fall over. Right.
Yep.
Well, beyond that, we're seeing now the homosexual lobby is so well funded that they're throwing money at Republicans now. We've got in Michigan, I believe it was, that the Republican Speaker of the House just took $50,000 from Tim Gill. Tim Gill is a homosexual financier who has successfully turned various states' legislators, made them, you know, pushed enough Democrats in there to make it pro-homosexual in the state, leading to pro-gay laws being passed. He just took $50,000 from Tim Gill. We're calling on that man, I'm sorry I don't have his name here, to give that donation back. We know what Tim Gill's all about. He's about pushing the homosexual and the liberal agenda. Why would Republicans take that money? So I'm very fearful about where the Republican Party is headed on the homosexual issue.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. There was a story today over at ChristianNews.net. A Pennsylvania senator just came out of the closet, this man by the name of Senator Jim Furlow from Pittsburgh, a Democrat. And he wants to bring back this controversial homosexual hate crimes bill. And this was a law that was struck down earlier following a challenge from Christians who were charged under that law for sharing the gospel at a gay pride event and faced nearly half a century behind bars. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I was saying earlier today, this story reminds us like of Anise Parker in Houston, the Houston mayor, when they were going through with the anti-discrimination ordinance at the city council. And at one point she said, this is about me. I mean, this is something that I think Christians need to be aware of. You know, anybody who is elected to office has feelings and thoughts of their own that they bring with them. They're not just automatons who do exactly what the constituents want. This is, I think, salient and important for people to recognize that what you think does resonate with what you do.
Yes, and there's an incredible desperate need to rationalize that lifestyle. I mean, let's face it, that's why we see now this immense attack on Christians. We see the rise of progressive groups, which are specifically designed to influence evangelicals to lessen their opposition to organized homosexuality. And absolutely, and you know, on that Philadelphia case, Janet, I think justice worked. Didn't they just catch the perpetrators? I don't think there's any problem with when there are homosexuals who are victimized, and we condemn any violence against homosexuality, homosexuals. I think the justice system worked in that case. You don't need a hate crime law on top of that of the system to especially on homosexual cases. But let me remind people that when Christians are victims, sometimes the wheels of justice don't work quite as quickly. And we had our banquet where Scott was speaking, and there was a brick attacked against the Christian school where our event was being hosted, and somehow Eric Holder never got around to solving that case because Christians were the victims. There's a double standard.
He's going to do that any minute now as he's heading out the door.
Yeah, any minute before he steps aside, he's going to take our case.
Yeah, he's been deeply, deeply worried and thinking hard about what he needs to do to protect Christians. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Very funny.
You know, it's interesting. You had covered, we were talking about the Matthew Shepard case. There was a very sad case, and apparently this was, what, 15 years ago today? This
15 years ago.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long. But remind people about this case, because I mean, this is a worst case scenario, but it was a tragic situation. This young boy, 13-year-old Arkansas boy, Jesse Dierkhuizen, was killed by two older homosexual men. It was horrific.
Yes, and I know it's a family show, so I'll just try to be general, but essentially he was sodomized to death. Boy, Jesse Dierkhuizen, 13 years old. His mother was pro-gay, by the way, Janet. She let him hang out with two homosexuals. They were actually lovers. And these men, they had him overnight at their one of their apartments. And they involved him in basically S&M. And we can't describe it, but they used foreign objects to sodomize him. And they left the room, and he gagged. He died of asphyxiation.
Right, suffocated.
What we tried to say was, look, this is related to homosexuality. I talked to you about San Francisco, where they promote sadomasochism, and it's now, you know, there's a leather flag, designed to celebrate sadomasochism.
A leather
flag. And they talk about the leather community. So the homosexual movement does include a portion of it celebrates these vile, heinous behaviors. Now, we're not saying all homosexuals are like these terrible people who killed Jesse Dierkhuizen, but where was the media coverage? How come everybody in America knows about Matthew Shepard, who actually was not killed because he was gay, as that was the line at the time, but a homosexual writer, Stephen Jimenez, actually disproved that in his book about Matthew Shepard. But Jesse Dierkhuizen, when you have homosexuals perpetrating an assault upon a child, a sexual assault on a child, the media is not interested in telegraphing that case.
Well, and I think the reason you said it very well. Obviously, this is a crime and a terrible thing, and you certainly wouldn't try to paint with a broad brush and say everybody would do something like this. Absolutely not. But the point is, when you're talking about how the media reacts to stories, and the media is telling positive things all the time, positive, positive, positive. And we know this on a host of issues, not just this issue in particular, but a lot of different issues. You'll hear a particular point of view and you won't hear the whole truth. And we do need to know the whole truth. If we don't know the whole truth, how can we ever make up our minds?
Right. And we're seeing it on a host of issues. This happens to be the anniversary of Jesse Dierkhuizen's death. He'd be 28 now. But, you know, Matthew Shepard, that was a phenomenon. And homosexual lobby groups promoted this. They used that case. They distorted it to promote hate crimes legislation and the entire homosexual agenda. There was a play called The Laramie Project.
Hang on a second. Peter, hang on just a moment. I'm running out of time here, but we're going to go to a break. We'll be back with Peter LaBarbara on The Janet Mefford Show. 5 minutes before the hour on the Janet Mefford Show, Peter LaBarbara joining me from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. You can find his organization at AmericansForTruth.com. We've been discussing, well, a number of issues, but primarily this Human Rights Campaign report that's come out just recently called The Export of Hate, profiling Peter and a number of other Christian activists. You know, Peter, you are on the front lines, and I know for a lot of Christians who listen to the show and listen to you come on and talk about what's going on, not a lot of them really understand what it's like to be you or to be one of these people profiled in the Export of Hate report. And I would like you to just tell people a little bit about what it is like to do what you do and, you know, what kind of prayer support you could really use.
Well, definitely we could use prayers. I try to stand up, you know, we're for God's truth. That's what I'm all about. And as you know, we can't be haters. We can't hate people. We actually want homosexuals to, renounce the lifestyle, repent and accept Jesus Christ, as opposed to the Muslim jihadists who want to push homosexuals off tall buildings.
Right.
You know, so
right.
This is not about hate. It's about loving people enough to tell them the truth. I mean, I think people deserve to know about the incredibly disproportionate, disease ratio among, especially men who have sex with men. We need to inform young men that this is not a healthy lifestyle. We need to tell people about ex-gays, these wonderful stories of Jesus Christ transforming the lives of people who once thought they were gay or lesbian. And I think, my burden is to get that out to the public despite the media bias. And so we need prayers just to survive the hateful attacks. We need funds. If people could give funds, we have a banquet coming up October 25th featuring Michael Brown, who's a wonderful Christian man who confronts this issue. But generally, what I pray is that the truth will survive and that Christians will not choose to embrace the world, these worldly messages over the truth of Scripture.
Very good. Peter, what is the latest, just out of curiosity, with your Canada arrest and what you have any update on that?
Actually, yes. I'm flying back there October 27th, right after my banquet. Our trial is October 29th. And I hope that we will not be convicted. I'm assuming I won't have jail time if I am, but this is really just about freedom of speech in Canada. It's incredible what's happening in that country. They're actually, you know, barring speech now that they regard as hateful on the basis of sexual orientation. And ours is a, this is a real freedom of speech trial, and so pray that we will be exonerated and allowed to travel freely in Canada. We don't want the West to become, you know, like police zones where you can't say certain things that happen to be true just because of the political power of the homosexual lobby.
Wow. Well, we will certainly be in prayer for you. And you said the trial is October 29th, right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll definitely be in prayer for you. I'll send people to AmericansForTruth.com. Peter, God bless you for what you're doing. Thanks for being with us. Always a pleasure.
God bless you, Janet.
Thanks a lot for being here. And we'll see you also over at our website. It's JanetMefford.com.